So I was thinking about family, because when you think about the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, you think about spending it with your family. And maybe we've had enough of our family and we're ready for the kids to go back to school and we're ready to go back to work tomorrow. But family is kind of the idea and the thought of this lesson. Now, just kind of as we go through this lesson, I think I've mentioned before that I like playing around with artificial intelligence, and all of the images that I have today I used with an artificial intelligence engine. And basically I said I wanted to create a biblical sermon about family, and this was the image that it gave. I thought that was kind of fascinating. But we are going to be looking today at a few things. We're going to be looking at the Hebrew and Greek original word for family, and we're going to be looking at that here in just a minute. We're going to be looking at the definition of these words. I'm going to try to enunciate it, especially the Hebrew. I'm not going to try the Greek. But we're going to be looking at the definitions and the ideas of each of these and how they're used in scriptures and what they mean in different places. So let's take a look here at family. So family, or mispakah, and I know I'm not enunciating that just right. I listened to it multiple times. When I was over in Israel, they really have a lot of enunciations around the ha sound, like Hava. That was the name of a lady that I spent a lot of time with. Her name was Eve, but in Hebrew, it's Hava. So mispakah would be the family, the idea of family. And then we have the Greek used here as well. But the idea is members of a household who may or may not be related biologically, responsible for the care of its members, the chief collective through which property is passed. Now, I am taking this from the Lexham Bible Dictionary here, and that's what we're going to use for the most part of this. So this idea. Now, one of the things that I wanted to share this morning, just as I was going throughout my research, I do think it's interesting that our Bible study this morning does follow along a lot of what I was going to be talking about today. But, you know, while we were talking this morning, Brad was like, well, we kind of need to do a little bit of a word study to kind of see where that's used. Well, that's actually what I did with this. I used a program called Logos so I can figure out where this word is used and how many times it's found and things like that. So one of the things that I put in was family, and now we can see the original word that was used here. This is mispakah, and we can see where it's used, and of course we have the term of it above the word. It's only used 296 times in the Old Testament, which isn't all of that many times, because when you look at the word like child, child is used like 29,000 times or something like that in the Old Testament. It's used quite a bit, but family, not as much. And then there's different uses or the derivative of the word that might mean different things. Now, for the most part today, we're going to be looking at extended family, a family, clan types, so on. It is laid out into different ideas, dwelling house. We'll see that in the Greek as well, because when we look at the Greek word for the same thing, now, we're only talking, it's only used four times in the New Testament, which isn't very many. So, when we think about it only being used four times as a family and once as a household, that's not very many times. However, we went from almost 300 times in the Old Testament to only being used four times in the New Testament. And I'd like to use that as kind of the premise of what we're going to be talking about today. Because as we progress through the Bible, we see the Old Testament give us the idea of what a family is. Then it's just interpreted that way when we get to the New Testament. So we know that a family is actually one of God's first institutions. So we see in Genesis 2:21-25, and it says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And he said, This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, which is interesting, right? Because at this point, they didn't have a father and a mother. But, right? This is the whole institution is being set up. Therefore, a man shall leave a father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed, and we know how the story goes from here. But God has instituted this idea. Now, I tried to have AI make an image of this. It didn't come out very well, so I didn't have a picture here. However, I continued the idea. So now we have this first family is set up, and then we see that they had kids. So in Genesis 4, 1 through 2, now Adam knew his, Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, and she bore again, this time Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we see that this family is now set up. They have children, husband and wife have come together. So in the very first part of the Bible here in just Genesis 4, we have what a family consists of. Also, for those keeping track of AI art, it has no idea how to make a plow, so it just threw every hand tool together. I thought that was funny. There's a lot of inconsistencies as we go through here. So, as we go on throughout the idea of a family, we have Noah and his family. And I'm just taking a couple verses just to show the importance of family. So in Genesis 7 and 1, it says, Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark. You and your household, remember how I was mentioning that there are different ways that the Hebrew word is used, and this is one of the pieces, a household. Because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So we see that Noah and his family was righteous, his household. So it consists of everybody within his household. His family, his direct lineage and his family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So then in 8 and 18 it says, And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird whatsoever moveth upon the earth, after their families went forth out of the ark. So we know that these families came forth out of the ark. And they were units to themselves, right? So there was Noah and his family, and then his sons and their family, so they went forth out of the ark. This is about the 10th or 11th iteration of this picture that I had. One picture actually had like the animals of the ark, like their heads were mounted on the side of the ark. I'm not kidding. That's how AI envisioned it, so I thought that was interesting. Now, after they came out of the ark, we see in Genesis 10, 2 through 5, that they actually divided up the land among themselves. So of these, they were the isles of the nations divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, which is interesting because this is Genesis 10. We have the Tower of Babel happening in the next chapter 11. But it's just showing, this is like foreseeing, laying out, how everything was divided up. So everything was divided up after his tongue, after his families, in their nations. So we see these nations about how they were divided up. They're divided up into their families. Now, again, families, the idea here is most of these are blood relation families. And we can see that because we know that a lot of this was promised to Abraham and Sarah. Here in Genesis 17 and 1, it says, Then Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. We are talking about a covenant. We know from Brad's study about the ideas of a covenant. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold my covenant with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. After we see that Abraham has been called the father of many nations, we see many nations come from him. We know how everything is established as the Bible goes, and I have mentioned that the use of family is used 295 times with inside the Old Testament. However, there is one book that uses it way more than any of the other books. And it's Numbers. Right? Can't have a book without Numbers without the use of family. So family is used in the book of Numbers 159 times out of the 290 times that it's used. It's listing all the families and the areas and the properties and everything that they have. So the book of Numbers is very important to families because it gives the lineages and the lines of each of those families. And again, these are the families that will become the 12 tribes. And then later, after Numbers and as the generations go, we get to Joshua. And that's the next blue part that's used because then we see actually when the 12 tribes are divided up. This is Joshua 13 through like 23. We see where the word and the term of family is used because we know that the 12 tribes, 12 sons, those families are who inherit different parts. So it's a breakdown of how all of these families get those properties and locations. And we've studied those with our map studies about where these locations of these families live. Now the Old Testament is very focused on families and like blood relative families. However, when Jesus comes along, he kind of challenges that idea. And possibly that's maybe why we go down to just being used a handful of times with families here. It's only used three times in the New Testament, the term family, and it's also used once as the idea of a house. This is kind of where it's used there in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5 and 4. However, I would like to take a look at the first verse that it's used here, the idea of family, in Luke 2 and 4. In Luke 2 and 4 it says, "Now it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made with Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to enroll themselves, every one to his own city. Now Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David." Again, lineage, family, very important here. Now, I have the ASV used here. You can also see the idea lineage is used in the New King James Version with the idea of family or lineage of David. Now, this was very important because we saw Simeon and Anna both knew that Jesus was coming because they knew that he would have been from the lineage of David. So we see that Simeon and Anna actually waited there because they knew that he was coming. I believe Simeon died after he found out that Jesus had actually came. But he came from this family, this lineage. Now, after Christ had come, we don't really need to keep track of those family and lineage anymore. This is why I believe that when Jerusalem was destroyed, it destroyed all of those lineages, all of those documentation about those families. It wasn't needed anymore. You think about, we have that whole book of Numbers where everything was tracked and maintained and taken care of, and we see all of these lineages used. We even have the books of the Bible there in Matthew where it lays out the lineage in the very first part. It was so very important to how the family was established. However, Jesus challenges this idea of a family pretty much very first off in his ministry. So let's take a look at that. Let's just take a look at six ideas about ideas of the changes of the idea of family in the New Testament. Jesus kind of redefines the family in the gospel. He changes the allegiance to a biological family. We're actually going to take a look at Matthew 12 here in just a minute. There is an idea that the first three Gospels demonstrate the family ties are only as good as their support and discipleship. Matthew and Mark warn that disciples' enemies will come within their household, right? The enemies that will come are people that are going to try to lead them astray. In Luke 14 and 26, we have walking away from siblings, parents, and children may be necessary in order to follow Jesus. Those who leave their families for Jesus are promised a reward. And family relationships are often tied to God worship by a family. Such verses may reflect how some early believers followed Jesus while others remained loyal to their household gods. I just thought that was interesting. Wanted to throw that in there. This again is from the Lexham Bible Dictionary. About some of them, when talking about families, biological families, maybe remaining to be loyal to a certain god that they were following. So let's take a look at that first verse. Let's look at Matthew 12. Let's look at what I meant by how Jesus redefines family here in the gospel. So let's take a look here in Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brother stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brother are standing outside, seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." So we see this starting to build the idea of the church. The idea of those following him, the Christians following him, are our family. So we see this change from Old Testament to New Testament. Now, these are just my thoughts. I hope that they kind of spur ideas of family and family thoughts. So in the Old Testament, like I was kind of laying out this morning, there's a lot to do with earthly families. Following lineages, we have tribes that were taking care of roles in the temple and in the tabernacle. Those tribes were taking care of them. Conquering lands and cities, that was part of the whole conquest of Canaan. That was kind of like the idea and the thought. However, in the New Testament, it changes with the gospel or the good news. You have this heavenly family discussed. We have this church family where everyone is working together. There's not a certain tribe that's responsible for a certain part. And we're all working for a home in heaven. Now that Christ has come and died for the remission of our sins, we know that we are working for that eternal life in heaven. Now, I did put trust in God in the middle because that's what should have been happening no matter the time frame. No matter the time of when things were happening, everything should have been trusting in God. Because that's what it all comes down to. Because we know that we should trust in God, I was thinking about just the way that things are set up as a family and the way that we should be as a church. I was even thinking about how deacons and elderships are established, because we have here in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, that it is a faithful saying that if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, tempered, sober men, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetousness, not one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. As I was reading through those, I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about this morning, about a lot of those are focused on those things. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Because we are like a family. We are like a family. We need that strong foundation. I did not have AI make that picture, by the way. Yeah, there you go. Right. So, Okay. So this house needs this strong foundation. Well, how is a foundation built? So in Luke 6, I think about this parable. We sing this as a kid's song. So here in Luke 6, starting in verse 47, it says, "Everyone that cometh unto me, and that haveth my words, and doeth them, I will show you to whom it is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug and went deep, and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the streams break against the house, and could not shake it." Now, I like using Luke here. He goes a little bit more in descriptive terms. I believe this is also in Matthew, but I think Luke gives a little bit more descriptive terms here. "A stream break against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But he that heareth and doth not," so somebody that hears and does not do it, "is like a man that builds a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the streams break, the stairway it fell in, and the ruin of the house was great." Because that family needs to be on that strong foundation. So if we have a strong family on a strong foundation, it's everything that God has set up for this family. So kind of in closing this morning, I just kind of have some thoughts about building a strong family. You know, you think about a family and a church family. We call each other sisters and brothers. We see where we get that. They're from Jesus' comments, about we are to be built a strong family. Now, our family and our church family is not necessarily a blood relative family. We know that we do have family members that are blood related, but we as a church across the globe are members of God's family. That He is our Father. We know that Christ is the bridegroom of the church. I didn't quite get to all of those verses today. That's kind of where I was wanting to go with this. To build that strong family. But one of the things that I was thinking about this morning, just in close, was basically this idea of this circular model. I learned about these circular models when I was working on one of my degrees. I have a degree in business. Business communication and marketing, and there was a model called the Deming model that was plan, do, act, follow type of model. And basically, it was always about continuous improvement, but once you set up this model, it would always improve or make things better just as throughout history. And just, you know, people would be able to follow this model and they would be able to build and grow companies and do these ideas. But I was thinking about that today with just our spiritual lives. And I had Jenna help me with this. I really struggled to try to figure out where to put these words in these areas. But I was trying to figure out a cycle that it didn't matter where you started. The idea was that you would still become a part of the family. So if you follow your earthly father, you would obey the gospel. Then from that, you would be godly parents. You would have godly children and be a part of the church. So if you started here and you were godly parents, had godly children, you'd be a part of the church. And if you're part of the church, you would follow the Father. You see what I mean? The idea is that there would be constant improvement. That we are constantly trying to improve ourselves and be a part of this family. Now, we know that families go through hard times. And we are supposed to be there for our family. And I think about that with the church today. That we all have personal struggles, and we always strive to work hard for one another. That we are family, and we are here for one another. I believe that that's why Christ had us set up churches in our local areas, that we are here to support one another. It's kind of hard for me to wake up every morning and support a church in Colorado, even though I have friends out there, right? That's the idea that we have brothers and sisters there, that we are to build and grow and to be a part of our local area and to have focus on our family, on our church family here, that we are to grow with one another. However, in order to become a child of God, it's very well laid out on what we need to do to become that child of God. And with that is baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God. The idea that we need to become baptized to be a part of that cycle, to be a part of that family, it needs to start, or to be a part of learning God's Word, understanding what you need to do, and then continue from there to grow, to be a part of, to help support, and even sometimes to accept support from other Christians. So if anybody today would need help or prayers from the family here, or would like to become a child of God, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.